goodness, everybody, Doc! Everyone, darkness is spreading! Darkness, everybody, Doc!
Son of a bitch, I was setting up GarageBand right now. Why you didn't say anything?
That's what I did. I said I got it up.
I was over here all quiet. I was all over here quiet, setting this shit up. Whatever. I was like, oh, this motherfucker over here got it all up. I was like, you son of a bitch.
Determined.
Oh, back to another darn man. I'm fucking, man, I should never drunk that much last time.
where did you go and what did you do? What did you drink?
Well, first of all, I drunk battery acid first. And I ain't even lying. That was straight up some fucking battery acid. Like, that was like a metallic. That tastes like batteries and ass all in one. With some vinegar sauce in it.
I've never tasted either, so I
couldn't. Yeah. Yeah. For it. You work my line of work, Pop. So. Cody know what I'm talking about, whatever, because I gave him some, whatever. I was like, hey,
a sip. I was like, what the fuck, man?
I think that chick tried to roofie my ass, whatever. It's funny because it was kind of like those pills in a Wolf of Wall Street. They didn't kick in until like 30 minutes later. I think she gave me some old ass tonic or some shit like that, whatever, that didn't do anything until like an hour later. It tasted old and like battery, like or whatever, like some like acidly, like whatever, like just metallic, whatever. And I was like, I was so upset. Plus, I had to hear this damn song in repeat. Just give me the light. Okay, man.
That first bar was horrible.
But before we get into these crazy stories, just want to let everybody know that you listened to another episode of The Darkness. The Darkness.
Got four brothers, darkness brothers now.
We got so much darkness in here. Ain't no light. There's no light squeaking through.
Make it different, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I don't know about you, CJ. I'm starting to question your blackness now, but anyway.
Hey, what are
you trying to set us up with some lawyer shit earlier or whatever? Now, last week it was the Lord, so I was like, I don't know, man. That's just like a crab in a bucket. Always trying to hold the other one down. You know what I'm
saying? Y'all left me hanging on that story. I'm pretty sure, but I guess, what are we talking about earlier?
Wait, we left you hanging?
Yeah, how did we leave you hanging?
Oh, okay. Because y'all didn't have the same experience that all brothers should be supposed to have.
No, we ain't just trying to record our illegal activities on the... What the hell is wrong with you, CJ? I don't know if you noticed, but I live in a place where Rodney King got his ass whooped, all right? So,
that is true.
He's trying to have that again. See, actually, Cody is closer than me.
See, that's why I try to get all my friends the new Samsung Galaxy Watch. Because if you wear it on the right wrist, if a cop try to beat you, it got a camera that can point at the cop to hit you, so you can get a good recording of all that attacking. So,
genius.
Yeah. I don't know. CJ might forget to press record. So.
I know, right? My photo officer, my stuff wasn't working. Let me try this again.
Damn, my file was too large. Whatever, it didn't say. Hey, well, Happy New Year's, guys. Whatever. Cody,
yeah,
I already saw your black ass last night.
Yes, you did. You did.
Yeah, you son of a bitch, you.
So, what'd you two numbskulls get involved in last night?
Well... Where do we start? Well, first of all, we live in L.A., so we realized that getting into L.A. places is going to be about $50, $60.
Oh, man.
But I ain't having that, so.
The original place we wanted to go to, it was bought out, right? By
it was a private event going on, whatever, and I remember telling the lady... I told the lady, I said, well, can I get the guy's email address so I can tell him, can I come? She was like, I don't have that. And I was just like, well, why not? I was like, man, you should get fired. You ain't even doing your job, right? You have his info on tech with you. And then Cody and me, we just basically ended up in this place where I got kind of fucked up. I ain't gonna lie.
Yep.
I passed out that free champagne and
shut up! That was me.
Out of nowhere, where the fuck did this come from? And I was like, I hesitate to drink it. And I was like, what was that?
Yeah, I like when you turned around. And you saw those empty glasses by me and shit.
Man, you gotta be careful with free champagne.
They was passing out like yeah, that especially when you drinking rum too, or whatever, and Long Island iced teas. That, it's not a good combination to be holding three drinks in one hand.
Long Island. Oh, fuck, dude, I probably was something to eat last night too, but that did not happen.
Long Island would sneak up on you.
Well, I remember last year I bought Martin. I bought Martin and Tony Long Island iced tea. They was just like, yeah, you bought this, whatever? And I just realized, yeah, that was only $11 for that big-ass glass, whatever. You know that little-ass glass of Long Island I had last night was like $11, too? And I was like, God damn. L.A., man, it will rip you the fuck off.
I'll say, because that's the one thing about Long Island iced tea. You might pay more for it, but you got all these different kind of alcohols in it, and it always comes in a tall glass.
Yeah, they gave me like a shot glass.
Yeah, yeah, short.
They gave me a damn shot glass. and we met that one dude from that that video we saw of that hotline. Classy nigga.
That's right.
You don't know the talking about.
I told him that too. I was like, me.
There's a viral video on YouTube right now going around.
There's a viral video.
And it's some kind of, I don't know, commercial, you know, a parody commercial, of course, but it's like, hey, if you want to talk to different types of Negroes out there, you can call this number, 1-800-HOOD-NIGGA. And it had one of them that said, like, thug nigga, racist nigga.
Mystery.
Yeah, history nigga.
Well, mystery nigga.
Man.
We met classy nigga last night. So that motherfucker was classy to the death of it, whatever. No, but overall, it was a good night. A lot of drinking, a lot of hand shit. I had a lot of shit in my pockets, too, by the way, whatever. Apparently, I was writing a phone number down too, Cody. I don't remember this, whatever. I was writing a phone number down because I got a half a number. Yeah, I got half a number sitting just right there, whatever. It didn't finish the last four digits.
I missed that one.
I was like, damn, who was I talking to, or whatever? Was I just writing this randomly or something? Yeah, it was a good night, though. I got to say, it was a damn good night.
We should say correct.
Good for you. Good for you. Phenomenal one.
Yeah, I don't know about waking up this morning, though, because that was...
were you hungover?
I wasn't hungover, but my fucking mouth tastes like a goddamn ashtray.
That was all right, but yeah.
I don't get hungovers. I'm only 25.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, excuse me.
I know how to handle my alcohol. Oh, yeah, by the way, hey, I'm not CJ, but anyway... Question, now that we sober, Cody, did that security guard call us niggas?
Oh, yes. Like, it was something with the N.
I don't know what he said.
Because I like pause for a second. Like,
me and Cody were sitting talking to these two. Yeah, we were talking to these two girls or whatever, and then this dude came out of nowhere and said, y'all niggas got to get the hell up out of here. We paused and looked at him and was like, I mean, we realize we're the only two black people up in here, but damn, shit. He must have got jealous because he was hitting on his Latin women or something like that. That's what it was.
Oh, shit.
I mean, CJ, you was parading around a bunch of white women. What was you doing?
What are you doing? Mean, come on.
What the hell was you doing on that school bus, dude? I was scared. This dude is taking in white little precious babies and shit.
No. See, every time I hear that, I think of that scene from The Color Purple, The Green Mile, when he found those two dead white girls on his arm. I never wanted that scared the hell out of me now. Because he went to jail after that, and then, you know, he got electrocuted. That's my greatest fear in life.
I'll be fine in jail, CJ. Don't worry.
Ouch, man. Yeah, I'll be dead. That's why I'll be fine in jail.
No, man. You heal one of the guards' prostates, and you'll be all right.
All right. But, man, you know, before
as long
I get
as nobody kicks you.
Oh, well, before I get to my New Year's, you know, like, I want to say, like, New Year's growing up with Mama Bear, you know, it was different. I think that's why I kind of like to go out now for New Year's, because back then, I don't know if y'all mom ever took y'all to church for New Year's.
Only yours, man.
Oh, only mine? Only mine again.
That's all you, brother.
There you go, Mama.
I am. Hang up on you, man. You want to do this shit again?
I'm not going to take it over to. Don't worry, we ain't going to church. No. But she would do that. It was like, so we lived in Chicago, and we lived in before we moved into our house, it was one of those, you know, it was not such a bad neighborhood, but not such a great neighborhood either. And she was always worried about people shooting, because that's what people do. They just shoot on New Year's for God knows whatever reason.
Sure. When you say people, you mean black people, right?
Yeah, the people over there.
Go ahead, CJ. Yeah, you keep saying you people and shit like
that. Trying to be all PC and shit.
Trying to be all bougie and shit, nigga.
So then she...
Hey, Cody, I got a new one. I got a new one for that hotline. Bougie, nigga.
But then she'll be the same one that says, like, okay, well, I don't want y'all to get shot or get hurt, so I'm going to make sure we go to church for New Year's. And I'm like, then why are we going to leave the house, go into the street, to go in the car while they shooting, to go to church? And then we would have a prayer session from, like, you know, from 10, 11:55 to 1, you know, to midnight, and then we'll leave. I'm like, what? So I always hated New Year's until then. But... yesterday, I got with some friends. We got a school bus. Mm-hmm. We all got on the school bus. I was the only Negro corn on the bus. We went all around town. We went bar hopping. It was pretty amazing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So. How about you, Martin? You do anything, or you just stayed in?
No. I mean, we got some friends, and we go to their house, and it's usually I would call it a house party because there's people drinking and talking and there's music playing, but I don't know, there's kids running around and they're watching TV. It ain't that exciting. I mean, you know, it's hanging out, they're close friends, spend the night, but, you know, don't have to worry about get on the road with any kind of drunk drivers or anything. But it's pretty chill. There's only one guy who he was having way too much fun last night, and I saw him this morning and he wasn't having no fun at all.
Oh, so you saw me this morning, man. Just looking at the wall and shit, just looking at the people calling you.
Hey, you know, I had to fuck with him, so it's like, hey, man, let's see you up and around, get you some orange juice and throw a little champagne in there, make you a mimosa. He's like, no.
I swear to God, I was sitting on the counter, staring at the refrigerator, just looking at it like, I bet there ain't shit up in there. that's what them drinks did to my ass. It's like I'm hungry, but I just know it ain't nothing up in there. I ain't even gonna check. I ain't even gonna look. I was starving as hell this morning. I was having a munchie like a motherfucker. Actually, New Year's is probably it's probably my favorite holiday.
Yeah, I like it quite a bit. I don't know. I mean, I think Halloween still kind of beats it for me, but New Year's is super close.
Yeah, it's between Halloween and New Year's for me as well. But actually, I was telling Cody, I was like, we should come to Austin next year for New Year's.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you guys should, because if you did that, I would definitely go out. And Corey knows all the good places to go.
I don't know. When Corey gets drunk, he likes to wander off and shit, so I don't know. Like, you remember it's Comic-Con when me and him went to go with those girls to go look at that other spot or whatever. That brother, I swear, he was looking in dazed and confused at times or whatever. I didn't call his name. I was just like...
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. When you go somewhere with him, you got to get your own thing established. He gets you in the door, but you get to your own thing. Because if you depended on him, good luck.
I was a little scared for him. I was just like, man, I gotta hold your hand, bro. What's going on?
See, that's why at the London party, they made sure to roofie him so he couldn't go anywhere. Right. So you had to carry him back. He knew where he was the whole time.
That makes sense.
It does.
Well, that's what roofies do to your ass or whatever, because when I got roofied, I heard the room didn't spin, the world spinned. I was like, oh, my God. I saw the whole world. Well, anyway, you ready to get in the show, CJ?
I am. I'm ready.
What do you want to talk about first, then? TV, video games, movies, what?
Man, you know what?
Because I actually got this.
You got your list?
I got lists.
All right. I'm ready to be you. See, because we got you and Martin. That's the only reason why we got him back, because we got the professional who watch all the television, who play, who watch all the movies, all the shows.
I watch a lot of stuff. This is true.
Yeah, and then you got the phenomenal one who goes to like every movie out there. I don't even know how he's making a living doing what he does. This is amazing in itself.
I'm tired. That's
I hear that, man.
And then, of course, you got myself. I got a very short list of video game things that I have to watch. I don't even get a chance to play games. I just watch them get played online.
Cody's my music guy, and actually, probably
games too. Games.
And he recommended my game.
Oh, yeah,
here,
your game. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear what that is.
It's BioShock Infinite.
Oh, okay.
ain't no
build up, man.
Oh, well, I was trying to build suspense.
God damn.
Hey, ain't name the movie spoiler. He called the movie spoiler for a reason.
Hey, you know what? Hey, Martin, I want to talk to you about something, too, whatever, because, you know, I hear the guys always give you shit about spoilers. And I've heard that since day one when I started listening to the spill. And I was like, I don't get it. I'm just like, maybe I am like Martin or whatever, because I don't get what he's spoiling. When I heard y'all, this is the end review.
Uh-huh.
Cyrus and Corey straight up said, the devil comes out and this demon. So I was like, ain't that kind of a spoiler? Ain't nobody getting on this.
Man, I'm telling you, that rule only exists when I talk. It's only when I talk that they all stop and go like, well, you just spoiled it. And I'm like, are you serious? Everything we've been talking about so far, there's this one gag in there? Yeah, you ruined that gag. That's a big gag. And like, that ain't no big gag. It's like the last 10 minutes of that damn movie.
Because you brought up that Channing Tatum what comes up, and they bleeped that out as a spoiler. And I was like, how is that a spoiler?
Right?
but they were having a full-on conversation while you were quiet about, like, the devil shows up, and there's this huge foot demon, the devil, and all that shows up. I was just like, they don't show that in the trailer. Ain't that kind of considered a spoiler?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, in the trailer, they just tell you that it's an apocalypse. You don't even know that it's the rapture for sure.
Yeah,
which was something I was gonna hold back, but they started talking about it.
And the fact that you said Channing Tatum show, that gets bleeped out, so I was like, what?
Exactly.
This 2-second scene would have ruined somebody's whole movie.
Right, right. Yeah. To me, a spoiler is something where if somebody said it would change and color your whole experience. Mm. That would do nothing to know that.
Listening to Spill confused my ass on spoilers, and I was just like, I don't even know what spoiler. You know, I don't give a fuck no more. I don't know what spoiler is.
That was the main reason why I would listen to Spill, because I wouldn't have to go to certain movies, because everybody else, they would do it. Like, Martin, you would be more cryptic, but you listen to everybody else, they give you full detail. Like, I felt like I watched the movie. Like,
I don't think revealing Channing Tatum was a spoiler, because it's on the IMDb page, so I think I knew you were going to be fucking... But whatever. So I wanted to talk to you about that. Like last time I saw it, I just forgot about it. I was just like, hey, I wanted to bring that shit up too.
You know, it's so funny because I was thinking about that myself this weekend. I hadn't thought about it since it happened, and just this weekend I was thinking about that again. Like, yeah, what the hell was that?
See, you sound too logical when you speak at times. So just everything you're saying sounds like a spoiler.
Right.
Basically, CJ just called you to thumb it down for you. He called you an educated Negro. So
you know too much. You must be quiet.
And next you call me Dr. Narcisse.
Oh yeah, I can't. Oh, I had a professor like that. He used to call everybody little niggas, like little niggas.
What?
He was a young man. No, he was from the he was from Brazil or the Caribbean, some part of the Caribbean.
Uh-huh.
He said, "Oh, my son, you're walking around with your pants sagging like a American black gangster boy. You pull up your pants, my young man. Don't be a little nigger." I'm like, I am not wearing my, I'd never wear my pants like that, but I don't know why he was singling me out of all the people. You know, he tell me this.
In the words of Paul Mooney, I didn't mean called a nigga so much. I will say it whenever the fuck I feel like it.
I like the word. I like Negro. I like Negro. I like saying Negro, you know. And I understand that the rednecks out there or whoever, they said it in such a disgusting way that you can't even say Negro anymore. Because, Negroes.
I don't get that not being able to say Negro. That I'm like, what? Come on.
Right.
That's okay to say. Trust me.
I'm perfectly fine with Negro. It's black for Spanish. You know, it's a word. It's, so
some you people get all about that teacher that got fired in New York or whatever for saying Negro in Spanish class or whatever. I was just like,
wait, what?
Why don't they just ban the fucking word then? If that's the damn case, where she gonna get fired for that? She said Negro because they were doing colors or whatever in Spanish. Whatever. It was at a middle school in the Bronx or whatever. Yeah. And they fired her because some student got offended by it. And I was just like,
because of a color? Right,
man. I
wanted to see the student who got offended too. And listen to what he listened to. Like, what's on his MP3 player? You know?
What's that episode? That episode in the Boondocks where that teacher slips to say the N-word and he was just like, look, Raph, they say it all the time. Look at this. Jigga, my nigga. Jigga, my nigga. Real nigga roll call. Niggas don't die. A nigga will bleed.
He said, the other day I heard him, hey, can a nigga borrow a french fry? How the hell can a nigga borrow a french fry?
Oh, Jesus.
All right, we're getting off topic. That's the problem with the darkness. Keep getting into Negroes.
Keep getting into more Negro-ness.
No, I'm dark situated with Negroes or something like that, you know?
Just say that for Black History Month, which is next month. So,
what you want to get into first, CJ? Movies? Games?
Games.
You want to get in games? Okay.
Because it's really quick. So, I want to say, like, one of the best games of this year, I guess of last year, because now 2014, because 2013 was a horrible year, but one of the good games that came out, I agree with you, BioShock Infinite. It was a great game that kind of came out, good little fun game running around. It expanded on a new different type of world out there, especially, it involved the race issues, and it involved cult leaderness, shooting people in the face.
I thought that story was more complex, and I mean that in a good way. It was more complex than any other game that was out there this year.
Yeah, I agree.
And I didn't really think much of it.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't get to play a lot of games, and that seemed to be the only one I played. But I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like no other game I played before. Actually, I take that back.
Too,
right? Yeah, I played on PC. Well, Portal 2. Those are the two games I played this year. And I enjoyed both of them. They're both good. But, BioShock Infinite, man, that ending, that was something.
Oh, yeah, that was fantastic.
I fucking hate Portal 2. It pisses me off. I understand it's a good game, but that goddamn game. That is not a game to be playing when you're drinking.
Well, no.
Because if you get confused, you will get angry.
They should put that on the box.
Put a picture of me with a glass.
Don't be like this, motherfucker.
Yeah. Don't play while you drink.
You're going to get so mad, you're going to start yelling at your GPS in your car because you're going to think it's Gladys.
Right.
Hey, Gladys. How about you, Cody?
Oh, my game of the year. Shit. It's probably going to be the most conventional choice, but I got to go with GTA 5, man.
That's my number two.
Dude, the amount of detail in that game, and you could tell they were working on it for 5 years, and you can easily tell. I mean, it's just packed to the brim with detail. And the interaction with the three characters, I think, is some of the best writing as far as the GTA games go. And I think they're the most compelling antagonists. So I love the, I love that trio. It's like, it's gonna be hard to get away from that. Like I can't imagine another game without them now. So
it's funny how people keep saying Franklin's a stereotype. I'm like, come to Compton. I bet you'll hear a conversation just like Franklin. I ain't talking about back in the '90s. I'm talking about 2014. Come to Compton. I bet you'll see two Negroes sitting on a fucking porch talking just like Franklin. And ain't a stereotype if it's a fact.
And that's the thing too. You hear that Franklin character, and people did go off about like, oh, it's just such a stereotype. I'm like, no, those are people I have seen and heard people speak just like the way that guy spoke on the video game. And I'm like, you know what? They're not even acting. Somebody left a tape recorder going in someone's house for 5 years, and then edited it all together.
I mean, he's playing a gangster from L.A. What do you expect him to talk like? You know,
think about the actual actor who played him. That was basically just him.
Yeah,
that's how I grew up.
I'm telling you, they found that dude in Compton
somewhere. I really think they did. Honestly,
tell you, I know Negroes like that now that talk like that still to me too, and lied and told other Negroes that I was a cop for some reason. I don't know fucking why they would tell me that. Yeah, exactly. I was like, I was wondering why.
You were a cop.
He still hang around like, you know, the thug type dudes that hang around Compton. He's like, man, I used to see your car a lot, so I just told the other homies, you know, that you was a cop or something. I was like, why the hell would you tell him that?
I see you go around correcting people. No. It's P-O, not 5-0. Sorry, I see why you make that mistake.
I ain't gonna lie, I was kind of nervous because Negroes was random ass Negroes was looking at me and shit. I was just like, I gotta get the fuck out of this city.
You start hearing NWA in the background and stuff.
I think I heard Ice-T Colors in the background. my number three though would be Batman Arkham Origins.
I just installed that yesterday.
Awesome. I love the, I don't give a damn what nobody says or whatever. Talking about, oh, it's just like Arkham City. It's a goddamn trilogy. What the hell did you fucking expect or whatever? So the story in that game is probably the best story I've played in my life.
Yeah, it's easily the best of the franchise, easily.
Really?
Right. Yeah. Story-wise, yeah.
Exactly, especially all the stuff that he do in the story, because I don't even want to say because you haven't played it yet, Martin. But when you get a chance to play, you're going to start noticing what the detail they put in, the whole detective mode. It's not just regular Batman picks up a cup and he analyzes it. No.
You got to
actually go and do a little investigation to see, you know, see them put together the room and what happened and who did what, and, you know.
They already report shit.
I mean, you got to know who did it. Like 50% into it, but then you're like, but it's nice to see that they put thought into it, how it actually came to be, you know.
Man,
controversy too about the Joker. I think this is the best Joker out of the three games, to be honest.
Wow,
what they got.
A buddy of mine, he just hates the game. He just keeps telling me over and over, don't play it. It's weak.
Wow.
The Rockstar that is not doing it, and whoever took over developing it is lame, and he goes off on it all the time.
You know what, this whole reminds me of how Community, you know how Community was on, written by that one director, but then he got fired.
Dan Harmon.
Yeah, now he's back. That's exactly what this happened. It was like, Dan Harmon got fired from this last Batman game. NBC kept it going, and then, you know, nothing really changed. Nothing changed too much. Just fundamental.
Right. Yeah, like there's a point where you can kind of tell, like, oh, see, it's not as good without him there. Then after a while, you're like, well, you know, some of these episodes are just as good.
Exactly.
Plus, yeah, Martin, there's a fight scene. I don't want to talk about the fight scene, but there's a fight scene with Firefly. I think you're just going to love that fight scene. Like,
okay.
I got the most. Like, that fight scene, what they did with it, I thought it.
If you guys are telling me this, I mean, like I said, I got it installed, and, you know, I got a little bit more time on my hands right now, and I think I'll get to playing that. Now, it's something I got to ask you guys, though. Like, okay, so far it's been all BioShock Infinite and GTA 5 and Arkham Origins. I'm not hearing anything about The Last of Us or The Walking Dead. What's going on?
Well, Last of Us is a great game.
Well, Walking Dead. Yeah, I think people are kind of overhyping that game, would it? Because last year, The Walking Dead touched that story 10 times deeper than what Last of Us did this year, and I think people are kind of forgetting that. Or, I mean, I what they did in The Last of Us, I see that in The Walking Dead TV show.
Okay.
I mean, it's really nothing to that story. I mean, far as that gameplay mechanics and everything, it's like damn near perfect. I'll give it that. Like it's fucking amazing. But people going on about that story, it's good. But
yeah, it
isn't that in a lot.
Yeah.
There's nothing really too different or special. I mean, it is like P1 said, the environment, the acting, the facial expression, it's all wonderful. It's perfect. But, you know, the story, yeah, it's a good story. I mean, when you play so many video games, so many zombie apocalypse, you're starting to know, like, oh, okay, this is going to happen. And then here comes this beat. Now, the Walking Dead, the first season of Walking Dead was terrific. One, it was all wrapped up, you know. It was you had all five seasons out there. You got the whole full immersion of the story. You had a new character, you know. You actually had somebody who was different. You got Lee, you know, this brother taking care of this little girl over here and traveling, going back and forth. So it made you care about Clementine. Everybody who played it, except Wayne, because he has no fucking heart. But everybody else out there, you know, they love the little girl Clementine. And this is like the first game.
Say season two yet, because they only released episode one.
Oh, so. By the way, have you guys actually played season two yet? The first episode?
Mm-hmm. I played it,
I think it's
pretty good, actually.
I like it.
It's good, but I think, you know, I got to reserve judgment until a few more seasons come out.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why they didn't release all five episodes or episodes out right now.
Tesla's working on so much shit right now. That's the thing.
That's not our problem.
I would have preferred if they just released the whole goddamn thing. I got time to be waiting for one season.
Yeah, they
need
all kinds of shit right now.
Yeah, Last of Us would be like my number five or six, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I like the game a lot, but I think one of the biggest... Not so much big. Well, why GTA is better is because it's open world. That's another thing too.
Uh huh. Well, okay. With GTA 5. Now, has it been released for a PC yet?
No, it has not.
Jeez, man, come on.
Trust me, you're not alone on that one. Because the PC community is very uproarious about that. Because it's a very big proponent of the PC gaming world. GTA 5. So, well, GTA games in general.
They usually do take forever to release those games on PC, though, if I'm not mistaken. I think 3 came out pretty soon.
I don't think it takes this long, man. That's the thing. It's usually like at least probably like 6 months later, maybe.
It's 6 months later, though, right?
I'm saying we would have heard something by now.
Well, they have rumors that they have rumors they're going to come out around in March, springtime. For the PC, so I don't know why it was taking so long, or maybe they still want people to buy the new consoles, or maybe they want them to stick to the old consoles. I don't know. I don't know what the marketing or the strategy is behind it.
Beyond me.
They don't need no strategy. They made $1 billion in a day.
Oh, yeah, right.
True.
They don't need no damn strategy. Their strategy is make it, release it. That's their strategy. I wish that. You know what their strategy is? A whiteboard, and it has a box cover of GTA 5, and then an equal sign dollar. That's their strategy. Oh, yeah, like they have some deep and interesting meetings going on at that damn Rockstar.
Get in, get out.
What do you want to get into next now, Caesar?
I think that's all about games, so I need to give it over to the television show for you guys and everybody.
I'm on Boardwalk Empire right now, thanks to Martin.
Oh, yeah, you've been watching it, huh?
Yeah, I've been catching up on that, like, real quick, too, whatever. That show is good.
I need to watch that. I really need to watch that.
Yeah, that was one of those shows where, like, with the first season, it's like, it's good. It's mostly the production values that are amazing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Second season, it was like, okay, this is one of the best shows. Third and fourth season, just unbelievable. Just phenomenal. Like, third season was so good, I was like, man, I don't know how they can top or even match this. And damn if they didn't do it.
Yeah. One thing I want to talk to you about, Mark, because I've been hearing this a lot, and Cody knows I fucking hate this goddamn show. At least, well, I only watched 3 episodes. I tried to keep giving it a chance, but
I know where you're going. I know.
Yeah, you know what I'm about to say, man.
Oh,
goddamn Arrow.
Oh,
fucking Arrow, man. That first episode, I was like, okay, it's the first episode. All right, whatever. All right, second episode, I was like. That's pretty bad, but all right, I give it another chance. The third is, I was like, you know, fuck this show.
Man,
well, I've been hearing you say it gets better.
Well, okay. I tell people this all the time. Because I even had this conversation with somebody yesterday. They were like, oh, yeah, we watch Arrow. Do you watch Arrow? I was like, well, I watch Arrow, but I don't admit it.
He's a closeted Arrowhead.
Because Bo, friend Bo's like saying, well, should I watch Arrow? Because I love Green Arrow. And I say, look, man, I watch the show, and I'm telling you, don't watch it. Don't do it. Other people going like, I don't know, it's better than I thought, and they keep adding this. I'm like, don't listen to those people. Listen, I get why they watch it. For me, it's a show I can turn on and still surf the internet or do what I got to do and have it on in the background. Every so often, look up and there's a cool fight scene, or go like, oh, they added this character. But if I anytime I like really sit and pay attention to it, I think, why am I doing this? What this is,
I knew and it. I knew it.
Wow. You're not selling me.
No, I'm honestly trying to do the opposite of sell you on it. Don't watch this show.
I thought Cody would have got the message, Mark, when I've been telling him about that show, man. Fuck that show, man. We went to a DC panel or something like that. We were talking about the book, and then they brought up Arrow, and I was like, oh, fuck it, I'm ready to walk out.
I mean, the thing is, like the second season is better than the first season. But, you know, it ain't saying a whole lot. It's just that with the first season, like, so much of it was, like, I was just kind of bowled over by, I would laugh at it, like, by how bad the acting and the writing was on it. And it just killed me that you got this hero character, this vigilante, as he's called, who is all about wanting to save his city, which sounds so corny when he says, you failed my city, I have to protect my city. It's like, that's a city. You just one man. Who said this is yours? you know, stop trying to be Batman. But
goddamn Captain America, goddamn it!
but he's got this whole thing of like all these rich people, if they're corrupt and they're destroying the city, so he goes into their base of operations and kills their henchmen left and right. Like, henchmen are poor working stiffs. These guys ain't running shit. All they doing is following orders. They trying to just make some money how they can, because probably, you know, this unemployment is rampant. He's killing them. But then when he gets to the boss, he's like, you know, grab him by the neck and say, oh, I'm going to give you one more chance to turn your life around.
fucking God.
See why I said fuck your show? You see what I'm saying? Fuck that show. You know, I brought it up, too, because I recently made a comment. I've been going back and forth for Screen Rant. I pretty much told Screen Rant, well, you bias DC anyway. I mean, anything. If Batman and Robin was to come out right now, they would say that's the best fucking movie ever or whatever and shit. And they recently just did a top 10 list of TV shows, and they put Arrow as number 2.
Are you serious?
I was like, and then I wrote them back, and I said, you're not biased? You're not biased at all? Because Breaking Bad was, like, number 6 or some shit like that.
Oh, dude, God. Awesome. Shit.
That site need to get shut down.
that makes me laugh when somebody would do something like that. Because that's like a clear indicator right there that, like, okay, I don't need to read nothing else that they write.
Yeah, well, like, I've been saying that for years, though. Like, Screen Rant has always been biased towards DC. Like, they will suck DC's dick like a motherfucker or whatever. I mean, Game of Thrones is their number 1, and then when I saw Arrow as number 2 and Walking Dead wasn't even on the list, I was like, yeah, fuck this list. I was like, this is going to go against Arrow is your number 2, whatever. Then they try to, like, when I was reading the description, I was like, it was making up so many. It was like, it's such a great hero in here. I mean, he can take this season, like, oh, no, he's taking this series, like, all the way in. I was just like, all right, man, you know what?
Wow. I agree. I mean, I did see, like, a clip of the Arrow show, and I'm like, I want that other family show back. The one, I want the Shield to get canceled and Arrow to get canceled and bring back that family superhero show.
No Ordinary Family.
No Ordinary Family, because you know what? At the end, they left it on that cliffhanger with that brother getting superpowers, and I wanted to know what he had.
I wish they would have did The Incredibles into a TV show.
Nah, they would have screwed that show over.
Yeah, that's the thing. If they had done it, if it came out like No Ordinary Family, I'd rather just leave it alone.
Yeah, you know, it pretty much was Ordinary Family.
I'm talking about animated. I ain't talking about like on a goddamn CW channel.
ABC ran, or no, was that NBC or ABC that ran No Ordinary Family?
It was ABC.
Yeah, so that's So you know they were looking at blueprints from Incredibles when they did that.
Yeah.
So that was a taste. If you would have saw No Ordinary Family, that was a taste of what could have been the Incredibles. They just didn't want to sully that name.
Speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you're going to say it right there. It's not gotten great, but it got better from that third episode I saw, which I did not like at all.
For me, it was like, with that first episode, I was like, hey, man, this has a lot of potential. It's not there yet, but I can see it's just going to get better and better. And it did not get better and better. It kept getting worse and worse. But I did watch, like, the mid-season finale, and I thought, you know what? This one is a lot better than everyone I've seen since the first episode.
Yeah.
Because I got to where I wasn't watching anymore. It wasn't like I gave completely up on it. I was just, like, letting my DVR record it, and it wasn't, like, one of my go-to shows. Like, I got to watch this right away. Like, I had a bunch of them built up, and then when there was nothing else to watch, I started kind of watching them in the background mostly. But that last episode, I was like, I got invested in it. I'm like, all right. Part of me is like teetering. I'm like, okay, when they come back, they need to explain the fact that they did not kill the only brother on that show. I mean, it sure didn't look like they did, because I was like, oh, wait. Okay, so they are able to add something besides white guys and Asian chicks on this show. Okay, we got a brother now. Kabloom!
They got rid of his ass the first 30 minutes of that episode.
Y'all been walking the first three seasons of The Walking Dead too much? What's going on?
Yeah, he was like that brother from X-Men's First Class. He was like...
Yeah, exactly!
I think I think he might have said something about adapting or something like that, whatever. And they looked at him and was like, oh, yeah? You going to adapt? Let's see how you adapt when you get fired.
Right. I appreciate what y'all did for me. I'm going to be a valuable member of this team. Oh, you think so, huh? Why don't you go and run out there and try to save Coulson?
Yeah, the show doesn't have me invested to the point where it's like my Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, or Boardwalk Empire or anything like that, but something that if they released it all like at one or something like that or whatever, I would watch it, like binge watch it or whatever to see where it picks and shit or something, but it doesn't have my full attention as far as like I need to rush and see this yet.
Right. I mean, it started that way, but as it went on, it's like, nah, you lost that spot.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like a maybe pile of maybe it could get better when they come back, whatever. I don't know. They're like teetering between the middle of bad and good. So,
and the thing is, you know, when we come back, there's going to be a bunch of new shows. So oh no, you guys could lose your position. I was being very liberal, but there came a point when I had other stuff to do besides watch TV. And then I'm like, all right, I'm watching this only because there's nothing else, but man, something else. Because I kept saying, you know, with all these new action shows we got going on, I ain't gonna watch all of them. There's gonna be like two, maybe three slots, and you guys got to prove yourself to get in there. And I kept saying, okay, Arrow is in there just because there's nothing else, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because there's nothing else, and like, you know, I'm really digging The Blacklist. That's got a hold on it's got a lock on its spot. But I was like, this Almost Human show looks pretty good. And then Almost Human, I was like, oh, shit, Almost Human is great.
So, I was just about to say that, man.
Almost Human. Almost Human.
When y'all got to go?
Yeah, I was about to say, man, when I first saw it, they gave me a screener for it. When I went to go see it at the theater where we went to, whatever, I started watching more, whatever. I guess that's probably my favorite show of the year, to be honest. Right now, that show has gotten better with each episode.
Yeah, I agree.
That first episode was like movie quality.
Yeah. Michael Ealy, a.k.a. Cody Williams, he really stepped his game up, too.
All I see now is Cody. I just see, like, I can't wait till they do it when the robot has a son. And then it's going to be a Cody. So father.
Yeah, but if it's Michael Ealy, that means he's going to throw the baby out the window.
Oh, yes. Oh, no.
Yeah. So what'd you think, Martin? Would you throw in Almost Human as your favorite show of the year or what?
Man, I tell you, I it is so good. It's only been like 6 or 7 episodes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about, I think it was, yeah, 6, 5 or 6, something like that.
You know what? It's such a great quality show. It probably is the best show. It's just that I got so emotionally invested in The Blacklist that that's the one I'm most looking forward to coming back. And it had 13 episodes, so it was a longer time to get into it. But yeah, man, that Almost Human. You know what? What's holding me back with Almost Human? I had a guy at work say, like, man, they're saying that the ratings aren't good enough. They might have to cancel it. And I'm like, and it's one of those things where, yeah, exactly. Your stomach, you know, drops. It's like, man, this is so good. People should be watching it. But at the same time, you look at it, you can see they spent a lot of money on that show. Like, there's no half-stepping on it. And the more money they spend on the show, the bigger audience they have to sustain it. So it could be like it's getting good numbers, but not good enough to make its budget.
I gotta say, too, I was getting kind of tired of the goddamn cop shows, and I think Almost Human is the cop show we have that, like, integrated a new whole genre into it, where they actually rejuvenated that genre of cop shows, because I was like, goddamn, now they want to make that, about that Gotham show. I was like, I don't really want to see that shit, whatever. No. I don't want to see NCIS, you know, whatever, anything like that. I'm like, come on now.
God, me either.
Cop show.
Wait, wasn't there 10 years of a Superman show that didn't have Superman in it?
Fucking Smallville, god damn it.
Wasn't there a movie called Catwoman that didn't have anything? Didn't have a goddamn thing to do with what was going on.
Wasn't there a show called Birds of Prey that had nothing to do with Batman either?
Oh, shit, man.
Well, Batman had a daughter.
Way back.
Strange father.
Hate that fucking show.
Birds of Prey.
How about you, Cody?
As far as TV shows, I agree with you guys on Almost Human. That's my favorite, I guess, new series. As far as overall, is Breaking Bad count? Can I put that
in? Yeah, Breaking Bad was this year, man.
Okay, well, obviously Breaking Bad, I gotta say.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, I mean, that's one of those goes without saying shows.
Yeah.
That's why I just brought up Almost Human, because I pretty much figured y'all was gonna bring up Breaking Bad. I was like, I ain't gonna beat the pot all over the kettle now.
I really do dig Almost Human, man. Yeah, that's part of my favorite new show.
Walking Dead's been good this year too.
Walking Dead. Yeah, they stepped up the quality considerably. Yeah, man, Scott Gimple, he's a man now.
Really, I've had no complaints.
That was one of those shows where I was like, this show's on the bubble. The way it ended, it was on the bubble for me. I was like, you know, I might not even come back and watch it again. But wow, I'm glad I didn't make that decision.
Yeah, the quality of what they've been doing as far as the story. Now I'm just at a suspense of what are they gonna do now. Like this show might as well be called Walking Dead. You're fucked.
And that's the thing, man. It's now it's as bleak as the comic, which the comic got so bleak I just stopped reading it. So I'm wondering how's this gonna be for people, because I have a good friend. He won't watch it. He's like, why should I watch it, man? It's just, everything sucks and they die. and what's the point? And I was like, well, yeah, I guess there's really not one when you think about it.
I think I have
quality television.
I think I have questions for that show more than any other show, as far as like, how would they wrap this up and how would they end this, as far as like an all together, whatever. Like,
right.
Are they, is somebody going to die? Yeah. Are they going to die? Is somebody going to live? What's going to happen? Whatever. I mean, because this is a show that can consistently keep going. I'd prefer it if it ends.
Right.
Just wouldn't know how they would end it.
Something you think, yeah.
I wouldn't mind if it kept going, if it wasn't so focused like on a main character, like, you know, Rick. Because it does seem like a show, like you said, if they were just different people and different things was happening, you can just follow anybody in this show. So
I have a question. Would you guys, would you dig if they brought in Lee and Clementine into the show?
Oh, my God.
They brought Lee in. I would like that a lot, actually.
Yeah, they brought Lee.
Anything better than Tyrese now?
Well, Tyrese is way better than T-Dog. Well, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know about that. Now, I'd rather have a Negro that ain't talking at all than a Negro that's singing to some white chick. I'm like, did you guys remember the episode where he was sitting in the car when Bob Stoke and him was fighting those zombies? He was just sitting there like a baby in the back seat, like, I was just like, boy, if you don't get your black ass out this car. Like, man, you're going to be crying. kind of like somebody took your damn bottle and saying you can have it after you eat dinner or whatever.
He got the ultimate friend zone and everything, and he was crying over stuff that he didn't even get. He didn't get nowhere with this girl.
Well, yeah, man, but that makes you want it all the more. The fantasy of what it could have been.
He's trying to convince her that it was going to be something. I'm like, even though he gets his ass beat by Rick and whatever, he's still trying.
I love that. Rick had to tune him up. Rick is like, hey, man, I'm crazy too. So,
I like every time he talks to either Rick or Dale, he always try to put bass in his voice and shit. Like, he's like, talk now. So, like, I'm like, dude, it's like, dude, if you don't calm down, you're going to get your ass beat again. But I was talking about this the other day with somebody. I was saying it because I know they want to do spinoffs. I was like, I'd like to see a spinoff is if they did something like in an L.A. or New York setting. Sure. I would like to see it in, like, a bigger city now and see how they would survive in a major threat like this or whatever. Like, I think I made fun of like the bank. You know the bank tower, Cody, whatever. It's the tallest building in L.A. Okay. What if somebody was stuck on the top floor and the outbreak just happened right there, whatever, and they had to make their way to the bottom of that floor?
That would be that sounds badass, actually.
I told you. I'm
like, I want to see that now.
Man, don't nobody want to hear nothing that you got to. Oh, wait, actually, that sounds pretty good.
I heard Martin in the background. Where nigga got his own goddamn ideas.
He's writing it down right now. You know,
I'm laughing at Cody's reaction. He's like, what? Oh, yeah, no, that's a good idea. I thought you were going to say some bullshit, but, yeah, all right.
I thought you were going to say some stupid shit like you always do, people. Now, I would like to see that, though, like, in a, because, you know, and with this show, it's more of, like, we go to a city, an outbreak happens, and we go to the country, and we're calm for a little bit. I want to see, like, a threat. It can only be one season, two, whatever, like, straight to Netflix here or something like that. If it was just, like, set in a major city, if something like this happened or whatever, and they were just in, like, crisis panic mode all day.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess now it's time for best movie of the year.
Best and worst.
Oh, I know what my worst
is. I know what my worst is, too. Whatever. Actually, since I already did my best and worst of whatever, I mean, I got my list and everything. If you want me to just run down them real quick or whatever. But
Yeah. Go down your list. Because I don't know how much I can go on my list on this show. But right. And I haven't even started compiling a worst of, so you give me some ideas.
Oh, I got a funny worst of this one. My best number 10, though, is Inside Llewyn Davis. My number 9. Saving Mr. Banks, which I only put that one in there because I'm starting to think between that and Blue Jasmine. I think I put that one in there mainly because I've been saying this since last year about Denzel Washington. I think that Emma Thompson, the actor she had to play, is kind of, I think that's hard. That's a harder mode of acting to do, whatever, as far as playing a bitch that's likable.
Okay.
So I kind of just stuck that in there because I was just like, I kind of appreciated her being a bitch that I liked.
Okay.
I don't know why. Well, number 8 is Captain Phillips. Number 7 is Blue Caprice.
Whoa. What's Blue Caprice? What is that?
Blue Caprice is based on that DC shooting that happened.
Oh, I might have that around here somewhere. Yeah. Okay. I hadn't watched it. Go ahead.
Oh, man, if you see that movie, man, I actually was questioning to put that number 7 because I wanted to put that actually lower or whatever. That movie is, that's some intense shit right there.
Okay. All right.
What Isaiah Washington does to this kid or whatever, man, it's damn near brainwashing.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I was kind of frightened that time. If you want to say best horror movie, this is the best horror movie of all time now. Whatever.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah.
They got me intrigued.
Yeah. I know it was playing at the at this like small little independent theater we have in Pasadena or whatever for like a while or whatever, but I think it stopped now or whatever. But my number 6 is Blue is the Warmest Color. Number 5 is Rush. Number 4 is All Is Lost. Number 3, Dallas Buyers Club. Number 2 is Her. And number 1 is 12 Years a Slave.
Wow. All right. Impressive list.
Yeah, Her and 12 Years a Slave, I actually had that conflict of thing because Her actually kind of blew me away. I'm not going to lie. I love that movie a lot, actually. I think it's one of the best sci-fi movies I've seen in a while.
It is. It sneaks up on you.
Yeah, it does. As far as what they do with integrating technology and as far as making it not too like 20 years from now, whatever, but look like 5 years from now, I thought they did a fantastic job on it. I think the only reason why I picked 12 Years a Slave is because I saw that movie like 3 times. I only saw her one, so
yeah.
If I probably would have saw her more, it probably would have topped it. But
now, did Robot and Frank come out the same?
That was last year.
That was last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a great movie too. I don't know. Yeah. Her just blew me away though. I don't know why. I was sitting there just, and Scarlett Johansson, man, she needs to just call herself Scarlet Blue Balls, because
I know, right?
Any woman that don't have to take their clothes off in 2 movies in 1 year and can turn you on in a theater, that has got to be that is a goddamn gift to God or something.
you're right about that.
You remember that scene, Martin? Because I know you saw the movie. You remember that scene though, when she was having a, I guess, phone sex or whatever, and then she climaxed with her. I was just like, why am I getting turned on by?
it was intense.
I was like, this is one of the hottest fucking scenes ever. Like,
yeah,
and I don't even see her.
Exactly.
You guys want me to give my worst, or you want to give your
best?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, give your worst.
Number 10 is Grown Ups 2. Number 9, Paranormal Wactivity.
What was that? Wait, was that a real movie?
Yeah, it's a real movie. It's a spoof. It's on Netflix now if you want to watch it. Whatever.
No, that's all right.
Actually, I was thinking about either this or that that Winnie Mandela with Terrence Howard as a Nelson Mandela film. But damn it, Nelson Mandela, Terrence Howard, I was like, that's a win for me, so that can't make this list. Paranormal Activity is a spoof of, obviously, a paranormal. It's fucking horrible. It's got to be the worst goddamn sex comedy I've heard since American Reunion, I guess. Where am I at? Number 8 is After Earth. Fucking hated that movie. That was the most boring sci-fi of all time, whatever. 7, Tyler Perry's Medea Christmas. I was pretty angry.
I know when you were like, hey, maybe I can have you on to review that movie. I was like, no, you
Hey, Cody, CJ, Martin sends me a message like, hey, yeah, he's like, if you ever want to have me on, I'll be willing to come on. I was like, well, there's a Tyler Perry movie coming up. You want to be in there? I don't get no response from him. Yeah.
You got blocked on Facebook.
Matter of fact, you know what happened? Spill said it was closing a week later.
Now we know why.
Because of me asking that dumbass question.
Golly, Martin hates that movie so bad.
My number 6 is, I know Martin probably had be happy with me because I had the same theater experience that he had. Whatever, that's Identity Theft.
Oh jeez.
I was fucking annoyed. I was pacing back and forth. I was like, I'm ready to walk. I can't take me.
Was that this year? I thought it was last year.
It was January. It was like the first movie of this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. I know. That movie was so annoying. My God. Number 5, Spring Breakers, because it's not a movie. I don't know what it was.
Right? There's a lot of people putting it on their best of list. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying, man. I saw that on somebody put that as their number 1 and put 12 Years a Slave 2nd and Gravity 10. I was just like,
jeez.
I wouldn't even put this nowhere near on the same level of 12 Years a Slave, Fruitvale Station, Gravity, anything like that. I was just like, it's not even they do fucking cartwheels in a hallway for 3 goddamn scenes, all
right?
Yeah,
it's not even a real movie. You're right.
It's not a movie. It's like an hour long and just replaying clips of like the same stuff. I'm supposed to believe that these two little white girls went in here in a house full of Gucci Mane and his mobsters and just shot them all up or whatever. I was just like, all right, I don't know what this is anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But by the time it gets to that point, I'm like, whatever message you were trying to send is lost.
Yeah, and technical-wise, it looked pretty fucking horrible.
It did.
Like, the first 20 minutes, at least, that I noticed, it was shaky cam, and the screen looked all blotchy and shit or whatever, and there was music. I was having Django flashback. There was just music that was just coming out of nowhere. I was like, they don't even fit this scene right now.
Uh-huh.
And James Franco taking the girls to, like, this black house or whatever, where, like, these dudes was filming. I was just like, what the hell is this? And he kept telling me, she was like, I want to go home, but I like you. He kept saying that over, and I was just like, damn, I think she gets it, man. I think she just want to go home. I think she just want to go home, man. And the scene the scene that I knew was going, why this was going to make my worst up list, is when that motherfucker said, y'all won't see my sensitive side. Let me play y'all a song from the greatest singer alive, and that's Miss Britney Spears. And I was like,
oh,
what?
Yeah.
And they running around in circles in slow motion. I was like, all right, yeah, this is horrible. Number four is, now this probably might be one y'all ain't heard of neither. White Tea.
Nope. Ain't heard of it.
Yeah, it's a... it was released in one theater in L.A. for one day.
Hey, your ass had to watch it.
I know. You the unlucky son of a bitch who walked in there by mistake and saw it.
I wonder what this is. I wonder why they invited me to come see this or whatever. What is this? I'm the only one that's been in this motherfucker, too. What's going on? What the hell is that? Oh, but I don't know if you get the title. White Tea. You get it? White Tea? White Tea?
Oh,
you get it?
Yeah.
Because they say that fucking joke like three goddamn times in the fucking movie. It's so fucking annoying or whatever.
That's
basically, it's got the Willy Wonka storyline or whatever. You're going to laugh your ass off at this, too, whatever. Basically, whoever can find the white T-shirt with the golden tag on it can perform with this no-name rapper at some broke-down-ass club in L.A.
My God.
That's literally the plot right there. And it's got about three wiggers in there, and everybody knows I hate wiggers. Yeah. I think it's annoying, actually.
You ain't alone.
Yeah, I think it's the laziest form of comedy ever, actually. Just stick some white dude in there, put a white beater on him, and say, hey, act black.
Wow.
Yeah, I was pretty goddamn annoyed. Number three, Tyler Perry's Temptation.
Oh.
That movie makes no damn sense at all. <It's> like, hey, Martin, I got a question for you. You saw the movie now.
Oh, yeah.
Was Brandy running from some ghost or a demon? Because when you find out this so-called twist in the movie,
I know.
Like, I thought she was running from the goddamn Gigaboo or something like that. The way she had 20 locks on her door, she sat in the corner with a baseball bat. I was like, damn. I mean, the KKK must be after her or something. Then when you find out the twist, it's just like, so was the door lock supposed to stop that from coming in or something like that? I don't think Tyler Perry has a grasp on how HIV works or whatever. That didn't make no sense at all. It's funny because me and Cody, when we went out the night before I had to review this fucking movie, we met those dudes at that bar. And they were just like, he's like, oh yeah, what industry you work in? I was like, oh, he's like, oh yeah, I know this actor. You should meet him sometime. And then he was like, oh, it's Robbie Jones. He's in that Tyler Perry movie. And I was just like, oh fuck. I was like, I don't want to meet that guy. Ridiculous bastard. I don't want to meet this. Tyler Perry, man, you stupid, man. Number two is Inappropriate Comedy, obviously. And
I thought that was last year also, but go ahead.
I wasn't going to put it on there, but it was just so goddamn hard. I was just like, because I didn't put Movie 43 on here or whatever and shit like that, because I was like, people are just going to beat that over the head as the worst of anyway, but there's far.
Yeah, man, but Inappropriate Comedy, that's like the worst thing I've ever seen.
The worst part about that thing is, number one, I didn't get a screener. So number two, I had to go pay to see this shit.
Yeah.
Number three, the guy at the counter said, I'm sorry, what did you just say? And I said, Inappropriate Comedy. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's just nobody said that all day. I didn't know. And then they sent me to this theater room that I didn't even know existed. It was all the way in the back room and shit. I was just like, oh my God, I'm going to get raped up in this room. I was just like, hey, shit. And the movie didn't start till 20 minutes later because the guy was just like, he's like, hey, Frank, somebody's in a program con, get the projector on. I was like, oh, shit. I'm making them do extra work.
Right.
In other words, he's saying some jackass actually wanted to see this movie. my number one is Starving Games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When you saw that.
Man. No, I didn't, man. You got a lot of stuff on your list I either never saw or never heard of.
Wow.
I see a lot of fucking movies. Starving Games is actually something I got tricked into seeing by some fan meetup I had in Vegas when I was out there, whatever. They told me we was going to go see Thor again. I was all happy. I was like, oh, it's cool. I was like, I don't mind this, whatever. Shit. They was like, hey, don't worry, we got your ticket already. Just come on, whatever. I was just like, oh, all right, it's cool, whatever. I'm just sitting in the theater. I was like, why are they playing a lot of comedies for the trailers or whatever and shit like that? I was like, I guess or whatever. And I was like, I thought some Marvel shit or something would come up or some DC or something like that, or whatever. And then I see Hunger Games. I was just like, wait, what? I see this stupid ass fucking bird makes a fart sound. I was just like, uh-oh. I just looked over on my side shoulder and was just like, you motherfuckers, y'all. I hate this fucking movie. I was like, let's crowbar everything we can. I was like, I swear to God, they had a fucking fart off in the first 20 minutes. I was just like, I don't even know what that is.
Fuck.
Oh, lovely.
The girl's name, everybody knows, Katniss Everdeen or whatever. Well, I think her name in the movie was Can't Miss Evershot. And I was just like... Or President Snow, they called him in this movie President Snowballs, and I was just like,
wow.
Oh, you gotta be fucking kidding. And there was one jackass in the theater that was actually clapping. I was just like, hey, you know. This is far worse than anything or whatever. I know a lot of people saying why I didn't put Smurfs in there, because these movies are worse than Smurf 2, and Smurf 2 is for kids anyway, so... So anybody else want to knock that off my best and worst list? Because damn,
now I think
I feel broken now.
I think you did it for everybody, really. I mean, I only have like two movies, and it's a little controversial about the two movies I dislike and the two movies I really did like this year.
Fucking Butler's on your list, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking Butler, isn't it? You know I hate that fucking movie. See, it's on your list, isn't it?
I just avoid it. I can't go see that movie with my mom, because then she always want to talk to me about it and just say, baby, you ain't going to be like that no more. Don't worry. You're free.
I actually was thinking of putting Butler as my number 10 for the simple fact that I'm getting tired of white people trying to tell me how I should feel about that situation or whatever and shit of what was going on in that time frame. I'm actually kind of offended when white people tell me about like how I should feel about what goes on in movies like 12 Years a Slave and The Butler and all that, whatever. So that's an odd thing. Yeah, I was telling some guy about it or whatever, and I was like, I didn't like The Butler as much. He's like, why? And I was like, I didn't like Forrest Whitaker's character or whatever. I thought he was just some pansy-ass coward, to be honest, or whatever. I was like, he wasn't really inspirational or moving. He's like, yeah, he was. I was like, when? It's like the last 10 minutes. I was like, oh,
I may have to go get Mama Bear for this one. She loves that butler.
Well, of course she does.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, because the butler, you know, Oprah helped produce it. And if you have the Oprah channel, which Mama Bear watched the Oprah channel, they had that on all week long. They had every behind the scenes special. They damn near had the whole movie on the Oprah channel.
Yeah.
I actually I can't remember the actor's name. The guy that's playing his son in the movie. I actually liked him a lot or whatever.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
David
Oyelowo. Oyelowo.
There you go. I was like, if anything, I was arguing with that white guy. I was telling him, I was like, if anything, I thought he was the most inspirational character of standing up for his rights and whatever. I mean, I understand the situation was bad, but Forrest Whitaker was getting on his son like, you just listen to that white man's rules, whatever, and you just do what he tells you. And I was just laying there looking like, all right, man. I was like, it ain't like 12 Years of Slave time. This is in the civil rights time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, this is the most depressing goddamn thing. This is more depressing than 12 Years of
Slave. Sometimes that takes a toll on you, too, just to watch all those movies like back to back, knowing that they're out. You know, you got to give a breathing time.
I thought, man. I mean, yeah, you could just have a nigga getting his ass whooped day between 12 Years a Slave and The Butler and Fruitvale Station and Captain Phillips and Mandela. He's 40 all day. 42. Oh, 42. Oh, thank you.
And don't forget Winnie Mandela.
Right.
Do we have any movie where we're having fun that aren't Tyler Perry?
Do we have any
movies that we're having fun that aren't Tyler Perry, at least? Aren't crazy.
Jackie Robinson looks like he's having fun.
Yeah.
He's got to play his sport and everything. He's having fun.
Yeah, he's had so much fun. He was breaking bats every day.
Actually, I watched that movie a second time. I actually liked that movie a lot or whatever. I think the only problem, not even so much a problem, whatever. I think the white people in it, as far as them trying to be racist or whatever, I didn't buy it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's soft soaps that, but it's a feel good movie. It accomplishes a lot.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies you can watch several times and really enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. I actually put that on my second list if I have to go through Black History movies this year.
I mean, you know, like the most racist guy is Alan Tudyk, and even when he's being racist, you just kind of laugh watching him. It's just
exactly. I didn't take him serious at all as being a racist. I was just like, man, you just fucking with this dude. Now, 12 Years a Slave, I believe Michael Fassbender would be a fucking racist. I said, I believe everybody in this movie to be a racist. I was like, if I didn't know that guy was Magneto or anything like that or met him, I would be afraid of his ass.
Right.
Hey, Martin, you remember that ending when Solomon gets free and Michael Fassbender is still arguing about, that's my nigga. He would not let that shit go, though. He got on his horse. He's like, get my horse. He's like, I'm going to make sure this nigga's mine.
Right.
Like, Jesus. I was like, man, he had to dig down deep for that. What are your two favorites, though, CJ?
Just my two favorites. You know what? One was Elysium. I really dug the heck out of Elysium for some reason. It hit me. It really, I don't know, maybe I was sick or something or having an off day. But
you was having trouble with your health care.
Yeah, pretty much. I was unemployed. I didn't have anything. You know, 2013 was a crappy year for me. And I'm just sitting there looking at all the...
One complaint I made about Elysium is I like how in this goddamn project area, there's one white guy walking around. His name is Matt Damon or whatever. And I was like, yeah, well, he's going to save all the problems, isn't he? So he's going to save the world. I don't know. Elysium didn't stick with me for the simple fact that I didn't really care for Matt Damon's character that much. I didn't care about him until the end of the movie or whatever when he realized he was like, oh, I want to save this little girl. I was like, oh, now you have a purpose in this movie now.
I was just more fascinated that, like, you know, they actually had the technology to actually help people on the planet. And they show that, you know, it didn't take anything. It's not like using a machine took more energy or more power. You know, everybody had in their house. You know, why couldn't everybody use that machine? And that's what kind of got to me, that these people had the opportunity to help them. But, you know, they had me. I teared up at the end of it. I don't know, man. Maybe all that.
Did you have syphilis that week or something?
I didn't get in that machine. I was just
a little flare up.
A little flare. Hey, razor bump, maybe.
Now the same movie. Now the movie that stuck with me. It was two movies that I did not like this year. One was a sci-fi movie, and that was Gravity. I mean, it may be controversial, but I did not care for Gravity.
No, I'm with you right there, man. I mean, I like Gravity as far as title wise, but Sandra Bullock, I didn't give two fucks about
her. I wanted her to die so bad. I never wanted the character to die so much until Gravity. I'm like, please, take off your helmet at least. You know, save Clooney. Like, when they had to make a choice between Clooney and her, I'm like, please save Clooney. No! There goes the only hope to this movie right now, floating away in the vacuum of space.
I tell you, CJ, what you should watch is All Is Lost, if you feel that way. Because it's another movie with one person stranded against the elements. It's Robert Redford. And it starts, and you think it's going to be boring. And, man, that movie is tight. Because unlike Sandra Bullock's character, not only does he not talk, but you watch him not panic, do everything right. Like, they do stuff that you don't even think about.
Right.
And still, nothing is working out.
Yeah. That's why I made my number four.
Yeah.
He does say one word, CJ, and that's fuck.
And it's like long and coming by the time he says it.
I mean, you can really see the guy's like expression on his face. Like the more situation gets worse, you can see the frustration just build up on his face. He's just kind of like, all right, man, I feel sorry for you. I really appreciate that movie a lot, though. I don't know, Sandra Bullock is just. Somebody made a comparison to me, or whatever, that she was better than was it Patsy in 12 Years a Slave?
Get out of here!
Yeah,
And I said, well, I feel more for Patsy Moore. And he was telling me, was like, I don't feel that much for Patsy, whatever. And I was like, well, I feel more for Patsy for the simple fact that she was forced to do this or whatever. And Sandra Bullock was doing a goddamn job that she could have just easily said, no, I don't want to do that. So right. I didn't really feel for her in that sense.
There was nothing to feel. It was just her personality. She, you know, she just like, oh, I'm just here. Just doing my job. I'm like, why? Why do I need to follow you? Why? You're not entertaining me. But that's it. That's Gravity. Worse, you know, I didn't like that movie. And then the other one was, of course, the one that brought this show together. Oh. The one that brought the darkness out of retirement, because it was just such, it was so bad to me.
So boring.
So boring. So much darkness. The darkness, they had to summon the darkness in that movie to bring us back. And that was, you know, that was The Hobbit. That was the end of the year. The Hobbit. You listen to our review, the Me and P1 review of The Hobbit. How godly.
I told you what they should have called that movie, The Hobbit. Why are they fucking with that dragon? Yeah, that dragon ain't fucking with nobody. He ain't messing with nobody. He's sleeping, getting his nap on, and they went in his house and fucked with him. I'm just like, leave that damn dragon alone, man.
Because, you know, I think the expression his house is questionable, seeing as he stole it from them.
Hey, back in those days, Martin, if your shit got stolen, you might as well just, might as well just count your losses, man. Move on. Can you imagine if that Hobbit was black? They would have told him, nigga, if you don't take your ass back to where you came from.
The Hobbit is the Fridays of movies. That's what it is. That's all it is. Just going on a destination. Oh, my goodness, that movie. That movie was so long, ridiculous. And then, you know, one thing that stood out, you got a $100 million film, and what was up with that water slide scene?
Actually, it's somebody, $30 million, CJ, but...
they had that GoPro. Somebody threw that GoPro camera into the water, and they left that clip in the movie. I'm like, who did this? Who took their cell phone footage and put it into this movie? You know,
really hated that movie, man.
Well, he sure did. Yeah, damn.
Oh yeah, CJ. I know, Martin, you had your doubts about that movie, whatever, compared to the first. But yeah, CJ hated this fucking movie, and I'm kind of right there up there with him.
And I guess it kind of wraps it up. I guess
it was Martin's favorite movie of the year.
Yeah.
Well, 12 Years a Slave is my favorite movie. And second was Dallas Buyers Club. Third, Wolf of Wall Street. Fourth, Her. I lose track after that one. I know I have it written down somewhere. But, you know, you P1, you had a lot of things on your list that are also on mine. Inside Llewellyn Davis. That was kind of like my number 11. It's just short of it. Of making the top 10. It's funny because when I saw it, I saw that, and then like the next week I saw Nebraska, and I was like, I like Nebraska, but it's kind of like kind of the same thing, except, you know, Llewellyn had more going for it. But then they sent me a copy of Nebraska, and I ended up watching it again, and it really like raised up my feeling about it. Every so often there's a movie that comes along that I see it, and I'm like, yeah, it's good, and it's all right. And then I watch it later, and I go like, oh no, wait a minute. Now I'm in love with this movie. And I was trying to think. Up in the Air was that way for me. I remember coming out of it going like, yeah, it was good, I guess. And then I saw Atlanta and I was like, oh man, I'm really into this movie now. Trying to think what else. I was happy that you got Rush in there, because that came out so early.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about it.
Rush was definitely a great movie. I love the score and everything of it.
Man, it's a great movie.
Absolutely.
I mean, you take a movie that have two people, two protagonists in it, they're two totally different people, but you care about them equally, as, you know, you don't really want to do better than the other. You care that, you hope they both can win in that.
Yeah, you know, you respect. Well, to me, it does what a movie like that is supposed to do, where it takes a subject that I don't give two shits about and makes me care.
Thank you. It was the first car movie I saw that wasn't a goddamn cartoon, so I appreciated
exactly.
it even more.
Exactly.
I mean, in the first 10 minutes, they show you, no, this shit is real. That dude's leg was decapitated. I was like, well, we ain't going to have no flying across bridges in this movie.
Right.
I'm so sick of that fucking franchise. I'm so sorry.
I know.
I thought those movies were about cars. They're not heists and shit like that.
Exactly.
All these goddamn people in here, whatever. When the fuck did Ludacris become a goddamn computer hacker in this series?
Yeah,
that's the only damn...
When you go back and watch the second movie, he wasn't no hacker. He was just thrown in.
No. I didn't give a fuck about this franchise. Like they really just threw him in there. Matter of fact, what made that movie so goddamn ridiculous, too, whatever, is they stuck. What does The Rock work for? Was it CIA or something like that or whatever?
Yeah,
I don't know what it was, but his people couldn't crack the London cameras or security system or nothing like that, but Ludacris could. Are you fucking kidding me? I was like, man, you know what? If the CIA or Interpol doesn't have access to this, but Ludacris does, I was like, this movie's a goddamn cartoon. Okay.
Well, anytime it's like our government agency, we're at such a loss that we feel like I'm coming to you, you car thieves, to help us crack this ring of international criminals. And it's like, Vin Diesel just say like, dude, just admit it. You got a crush on me. No. Yeah. I mean, all right. Well, yeah.
I look at it as things like that when they bring criminals in is, why do we even have police?
Right.
Why? I mean, why? They don't do shit, obviously. Why do we even have Interpol and all that, whatever, if they can't get the goddamn job done? You got hired for this for a reason. Because you're good at it. You're the best at it.
Jesus Christ, so we thought. Well, that's like...
so we thought.
Like I always say with Armageddon, I'm like, are you saying that it's easier to teach a minor to be an astronaut than it is to teach an astronaut to be a minor?
Oh, my God.
Is that what this movie's telling me?
I think it is, actually, Martin. how about you, Cody? What's your worst of, Martin? What's your number one worst movie of the year?
Man, you know what? That's the one thing I haven't even, like, taken any time to compile a worst of. Like, you've kind of blown me away because you've seen some stuff that's on Netflix, things I never heard of. You know, I mean, for me,
a one-day release.
Yeah, you got a one-day releaser on there, something that came out in one theater. I can't top any of that. And it's funny because, like, the movie to me that was maybe the worst is the one that you dismissed, which was Smurfs 2. That was...
that movie's bad, but I didn't put it on there for the sole fact that I was like, when I was a kid, I liked dumb shit like this, too. So they made this for kids. I was like, whatever. Then they ain't had it. I was like, I used to watch Power Rangers. It didn't get no dumber than that shit or whatever. Okay, so...
man. I don't know.
Hey, if it makes feel better, that would be like my number 11 if I had to make a list. That movie was pretty fucking awful, but I was like, yeah, I guess... kids are getting something out of this, I guess.
That's the thing. Usually with kids movies, even when they're bad, I just kind of like give them a pass. Like, well, you know, they're entertaining the young kids, I guess, is all right. But when I was in Smurfs 2, I was like, there was a point in it where I'm like, no, this has gone past that.
Yeah, like, I mean, epic. It wasn't that, whatever.
There were even some things... like one or two things in Planes that I found to be, well, okay, that's all right. But Smurfs 2, I was just mad I gave up that time.
Yeah, even Planes, I did find something. Until I heard that, because I walked out earlier than when the credits rolled up, I heard that Larry the Cable Guy showed up, and I was like, my rating probably would have dropped then. Whatever, if I would have heard that part. I can't stand his ass.
Oh, I know, he's horrible.
No, you saw my worst of movie last year. It was Two Fairy Two Star and that guy.
Oh, ew. You saw that. Oh, you poor bastard.
So what does that tell you?
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, man. How about you, Cody? Best and worst movie of the year.
Here's the thing. I haven't seen anywhere near as many movies as you guys have. So I'm be a bit unconventional. I'm going to do... I'm going to do my most disappointing, and then I have a best unintentional comedy. So my most disappointing... most disappointing was Iron Man 3. Coming off the Avengers... I mean, the expectations I had for that movie, I mean, were fucking just out of this fucking world. And then when I saw the trailer, I was head over heels. So I see the actual movie, and of course, I just walked out. That was probably the biggest fuck you I've had since Spider-Man 3, for me.
God damn.
Wow.
Personally, yeah.
Okay. I kind of know what to... I kind of know what to say here, because Iron Man was one of my favorite movies of the summer.
Yeah,
and when I heard somebody saying that they were like disappointed, I was like, gosh, I don't know what you were. I wish I could see this movie that you were expecting, because I was like, I thought it delivered on everything
Martin,
it was going to do.
Martin.
Yeah.
Martin, thank you, because I've been saying that for the longest now. I've been like, I didn't really expect shit. I just expect a fun popcorn film. That's what I got.
Fair enough.
I expected no goddamn 12 Years a Slave out this movie.
Of course not. I at least wanted some type of drama that I can take away from it. So just something. Like, I get you're supposed to have comedy in there, but at least have a balance. And I thought it wasn't written well. The comedy wasn't written well, and I think it was just all over the place.
Wow.
Balance.
Damn, Cody.
For me.
I enjoyed it about as much as I did the first one. I was laughing. I liked the fact that there were twists in there back and forth. Like when I rewatch I love the twist. The fact that they were able to throw a kid in there and then and still not make him too precocious. That it totally started doing the whole time.
I had no problem with the kid. I had a problem with them saying, "Oh, it's not the suit that makes a man; the man that makes a suit." Like, no, it's fucking Jarvis. Jarvis was doing every fucking thing in the movie. It wasn't Tony Stark, to me.
Yeah, but they did show you that Tony Stark does make Iron Man, though, by him being in the suit or whatever.
Yeah, matter of fact, that was one of the big things about it. It was so much of it where he didn't have the suit. It was him and Rhodey.
Oh, yeah, MacGyver bullshit he was pulling in the middle of the movie. Yeah, that was kind of fun, I guess.
That was cool, man. What are you talking about? All right, man. I'm like,
MacGyver bullshit,
man. That was cool.
He electrocuted somebody with a glove.
That was cool as fuck, dude. I don't know what the hell you talking about now.
Exactly.
Don Cheadle was a qualified badass. I thought Don Cheadle was great in that movie. As far as the
anyway, go ahead.
The choreography they did at the ending fight scene,
I love watching that over and over.
I thought the choreography in that, I thought that was like the best I've seen in any last fight scene I've ever seen or whatever in a movie or whatever.
I checked up by that moment. I was done.
Ooh, yeah.
And how you gonna compare Tony Stark to MacGyver? like MacGyver's the one who's making up stuff. Tony Stark is an actual genius.
You son of a bitch!
they had Tony Stark as Inspector Gadget ass.
He talks about go gadget. go gadget, Iron Man suit right now. I hear a lot of people complain to that movie. It sounded like they wanted something deeper out of it. I was just like,
I don't know, but no other Iron Man was deep like that. It was
I don't expect any of the Marvel movies to be like deep.
I can expect to come out with something more from the movie.
Okay. Well, did Thor give you what you were looking for? Thor the Dark World?
No, it's another one. No, me and Marvel aren't friends this year at all.
I was about to say, Martin, Man of Steel did.
I love Man of Steel. I do not like that damn movie.
I don't know, Tony.
They had the Dark Back for.
I heard you had Man of Steel on your best of list. I'm pretty sure I read that on Facebook somewhere.
I emailed Martin the list of Cody's.
Man, fuck out.
I think that the difference between Man of Steel and Iron Man 3, I think Iron Man 3 was having fun, and Man of Steel took itself way too fucking seriously.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that, yeah.
That's why I don't really expect much out of Marvel movies. I think they're just fun summer popcorn movies. They're not ever going to make my best of list probably or whatever. I mean, but I do appreciate, I mean, like I said, once again, the choreography in that last scene or whatever. I've never seen anything done like that in a superhero film, to be honest. And unlike Man of Steel, I actually saw what the fuck was going on. I didn't just see a red cape billowing in the ground.
No, the action scenes work film well. I just wish I gave a shit.
I don't. Well, okay.
Man of Steel.
Jeez, enjoy that. Yeah. You loved how Superman drowned in that pool of skulls. Dark.
But he loved that tornado scene. That's what he loved.
The daddy killer.
Daddy killer.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, Dad, are you going to save this dog that's about 14 years old? That's not even alive in the next scene, by the way. You know.
I know his wife's like, well, Dad, can I at least save the dog? You just gonna stand there.
That move is for the
damn season. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry, Coach. Oh, Lord.
Sorry, Coach, not to save people. All right, Dad. Well, later, when the world's in danger and Metropolis is being torn down.
All right, ask you a question, though. I keep bringing this up, though, but Superman moves so quickly. He would have been able to save Jonathan Kent without anyone noticing that it was him in the first damn place. So I don't see what
there was a tornado. Right. A tornado going on. And even if people saw it, their brains would tell them, like, that was crazy. That tornado made me think I saw this. Things getting whipped around. It was so lucky that Clark got blown into his father and that it somehow it saved both of them.
It's a genius David Goyer writing, dude.
When I walked out of that movie and I kept hearing people saying how emotional that was, whatever, and how I said, you got to be fucking kidding me, right? Or whatever. I was like, really?
That's hilarious.
The only thing that would have redeemed that scene if it happened had Martha Kent said, like, you just stood there and let that tornado kill him or something like that. If they would have had some conflict or whatever, that would happen. But they didn't even have that. She was just like, well. These things just happen.
I know.
One day you're out in the country, the next day you're saving a dog from a tornado or whatever, you know? Yeah.
I should have noticed what happened when we moved into Tornado Alley.
One other thing I give that movie shit about, too, is Jor-El. He's talking about he will be a god to them. How the fuck would he know that?
Yeah.
If they knew that Earth Sun would do that to them, wouldn't they all be living on Earth then?
Yeah. That whole thing about, oh, yeah, we have bases set up all over the universe. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, they would have moved to Earth.
And then Zod, he was just adapted. He adapted to the powers all quick, and then he said, I was trained for this. I was like, how is your body trained for something like this?
Military.
I would have been able to forgive that movie more if it would have just said, fuck it, we just having fun. We ain't trying to be dealing with it. But that movie was trying to be way deep as shit. And then that ended where he threw that satellite down, that general talking about, you don't need to follow me. You can trust me. It's like, man, you brought an alien invasion to my planet. And
I swear, as soon as he did that, there was somebody in the back of the theater. I swear he yelled Obama. When that happened, I don't know what kind of context that had, but he yelled Obama.
like I can understand some people not liking certain things about Iron Man that they did with the twist and all that whatever shit. But when it comes to Man of Steel and why they like that, I'm like, that movie has problems like every goddamn minute of the movie. Like it's just like jarring. It's like all over the place. I'm like, all right, man. This S stands for symbol. It's a symbol for hope or whatever. How the fuck would you know that? You just got told that like a minute ago.
Well, and yeah, but you grew up on this planet where you know that represents an S.
Right.
So stop trying to act like, hey, don't play me like I'm stupid.
It's like wow, you guys are supposed to be more technological advanced than us, whatever, and you stole our alphabet. All right, then, whatever. All right.
Let me call piss pot your Avatar dragon.
Oh, pish posh, Jor-El. A Krypton is not going to explode. Why don't you just look out the window? The planet's on fire. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Whatever. Like, I think they forgot to close that windows with some blinds, whatever, when they was filming this movie. Okay, what's your best movie, Dad?
Oh, we're still on that. Oh, didn't realize.
Giving him shit about a movie he probably ain't even on his list.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about Man of Steel, too. Anyway, like I said, I had a best unintentional comedy, and that was G.I. Joe Retaliation, because of the fucking
that's
RZA.
Best movie ever, man.
My God,
that's
the RZA.
The best movie ever. RZA,
his
baby.
Performance. His performance.
And
wow.
That Japanese accent he had and those cross eyes talking about he was a Japanese blind master, that was the best accent I've seen in the past.
Cotton ball to his eyebrows. Yeah, that was.
Talking about he a Japanese warrior.
I bought every second of it, man. I know what you're talking about.
That's the greatest black actor ever. Corey need to hire him for y'all new site.
Right.
He did. He called Alan. He looks just like Alan.
He does look just like Alan.
Alan looks like every famous black rapper out there.
Oh.
He does. He looks like 50 Cent. He looks like.
No, he does look like 50 Cent. I give you that. Yeah, he does.
Like, yeah.
Damn, why don't you call him every mushmouth black nigga that's talking about whatever. Jesus Christ. Damn.
Bukin Woodbine and all that.
Yeah, Bukin Woodbine and all that, man. Whatever. Damn. Well, I think that's about it then, right?
I guess so.
All right, fellas.
Damn, unintentional comedy. I ain't never heard nothing like that before, but all right.
I was coming out of the school, man.
Hilarious.
It's the best comedy ever. Hey, well, Martin, Cody, thank you for joining me and CJ on this
doctor
special, whatever we call this.
Yeah, no, thanks again. As fun as it was the last time.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, and I'll make sure on Easter, when Easter comes, we'll bring Mama Bear up here and she can conversate to y'all.
No, that's okay, man.
That's all right. That's all right.
I guess you're going to be on your own for that. Yeah. But you know how everybody quiet, CJ. You notice that,
I know, right? I know.
I only go to church in Tyler Perry movies.
Oh, okay. So, but thank you guys.
Oh, don't
thank
forget
you.
Black Nativity too.
Oh, right, that's right.
Oh, Lord. But thank you guys, Martin and Cody, for joining me as me and Phenomenal One. And I guess we're looking forward to this new 2014 because 2013 is over. That iffy year, that icky year that it was.
Yeah,
we get to move on to this new 14 year and have a best year ever. So,
hey, same to all you
guys. I hate to say this because I know. Yeah, I hate to say this, but I had a pretty damn good 2013.
Shut up.
I mean, there's some bad shit in there, but hey, you guys got to learn how to look the positive over the negative, you know? Especially when I win that award this next Sunday, so, you know.
Oh, do they announce the winner next Sunday? All right.
It's this Sunday, actually. So,
oh,
yeah.
Really? Be on the lookout when P1 wins the award, because I guess we got to write letters to disqualify Spill because they ain't there no more. So it's all good.
Oh, I see how it is.
Hey, so Martin, best of luck to you guys this Sunday, all right?
Like crabs in the bucket.
I know exactly.
Crabs in the
bucket. Goddamn right, shit. Hey, you know if I don't win, I ain't going to tell nobody. I ain't going to talk about it at all. I got canceled. Snowstorm. Snowstorm must have hit Vegas or something. You know what I'm saying? Damn. People gonna be telling me, no, you lost it. I'm like, I didn't get that message.
I took my name out.
They say I was disqualified because of certain things, whatever, something like that. No, but thank you guys for coming on again, Martin. It was got you on twice, man. Damn, now I know you're crazy.
And now we got to send them something off that wish list. So everybody. So. But anyway, yeah, thank you guys for coming on again. And good luck to the new year, Martin, with you and your new show.
Thank you.
You guys doing, especially on oneofus.net. That show that you do on there too, the Theog, which is a great show.
Thank you. And yeah, we still got about 10 days left on the Kickstarter. Almost at 100K.
Almost.
Trying to get there. So close.
Before you go, Martin, I got to say, between you, Corey, and Cyrus, I think what you guys are doing on One of Us and the Corey and Martin show, I actually think that, not to say it sounds better than what y'all was doing before, because I love what you guys did before, but I actually, it feels kind of rejuvenated and fresh or whatever. It feels like this is the best work I've seen you guys do in a while, to be honest.
Wow, man, thanks. That really does mean a lot.
I actually love that Corey and Martin show, whatever, like the last episode, especially in what you guys do on One of Us. I was like, man, it seems like, I don't know, it seems like you guys are fighting harder or something or whatever. I don't know, but it just, the quality of it, it's just like perfection or whatever.
Well, you know, it is kind of like, you know, like when you it's like leaving the nest and, you know, it's all you and you really do have something to prove. So we're in there. We you know, we're giving it our best. We're giving it our all. But thanks. That means a lot.
Yeah, no problem. I think you guys are doing a great work, great job, whatever. And whatever you guys come up forward to, I'm always going to be there. So,
thank you.
You will always have the darkness behind you. Whenever there's light ahead, remember the darkness is always behind, following you. You can't escape it.
Remember Martin and Cody. When. To get through the light, you got to go through the darkness.
That is true.
Well, good night, everybody.
All right. Good night, y'all.
Later, guys.
Yeah, later, everyone.
All right. The darkness is back. We're looking in the abyss of the darkness. We got to pull out some dark questions
Yeah, we got to pull out the darkness of the dark.
Yes.
So my man Cody's here, so he'll be able to answer some of these, whatever. Why is he loved Man of Steel so much?
Yes, that chronic achievement of in American cinema.
Every time he comes over here, now we're gonna be like, now why did you love? Like, you know Wayne is gonna flip out when he hears that too, or whatever. He's just like, what, he loved Man of Steel? Wayne fucking hates Man of Steel. So it's like,
oh, he did it better than a Dark Knight.
Dark, you know what? He did tell me that last night, CJ. He told me that Man of Steel is better than Dark Knight. He said Batman Begins ain't shit compared to Man of Steel, whatever. I was like, man, Cody, get out of my car, man. Just get out, man. Just get out, man. I can't believe you'd even say something like that. You broke my heart with that, man. You guys ready for the first question, though?
Yes, we are.
Let's do it.
Comes from Alex. He says, yes! The darkness has returned. Not bad, Mr. Cody, for your first podcast. Hope either P1 or CJ keep you around because you guys have great chemistry. Hopefully you guys all come back together. But why do more black people sell bootlegs than anyone else? What the fuck?
This is true.
First off, thank you, Lehu. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's not Lehu. That's a Mexican.
That's
not Lehu? That's somebody else.
Oh, I thought it was... Oh, okay. Never mind.
Nah.
Never mind it.
That's that big Hispanic dude I told you that I had the remember Adrian and Alex, brother and sister?
What?
Yeah. Don't get on his bad side. He's huge.
Well, I'll make sure not to do that.
The one person who does the most bootlegging has to be people that live in China. Because doesn't China have the most bootlegging sites out there? Like all of them really much come from China?
I thought you were going to say Mexicans, but okay.
Oh. They had to have computers first. Duh. Come on.
And I don't call it bootlegging. I call it hustling.
And what do you think about bootlegging? Like, you know, you having the CDs, selling it, just recording it,
You know what? Let's just answer this question. He says, why do more black people sell bootlegs than anyone else? I'll tell you right now. Because niggas don't want to get a job. That's why. Those things put fear in a nigga's heart.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, we'll stay away from this one.
Alright, now I'm fucking with you. Why? Because black people like hustling more than anybody. That's why. They will hustle their damn grandma if they could.
you know, you are, everybody else give away movies for free, and when they download it illegally, and I guess we do sell it. So,
Well, that answer, I hope that answers your question. He probably gonna go out and talk to his black friends now. He's like, my black
podcast told me this is what they do.
Next comment comes from Ariana. She says, Martin, you should stop letting your son hang around Corey because obviously Phenomenal and it's just as crazy as him. Hello. Was this a one-time deal or were you four be getting back together for future black foolishness? It's not black foolishness. It's black truth. That's what we call this. Black truth. And yes, we're back here today.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go, see? And it wasn't foolishness. We was actually talking some logical shit on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about CJ's ass, though. He scares me now with these damn shows. Probably got his damn Bible out right now, quoting something right now. Well, so he's going to text you, Cody, and be like, hey, did you know that Henry the VIII said that? I don't even know if that nigga's in the Bible.
Making up shit.
Yeah, just making up shit. Henry the VIII.
Did you know Tyler the 16th did this and this?
Did you know that Tyler Perry wrote this version? Steve, next comment, he says, perfect ending was Martin saying, you Negroes have topics next time. Ha ha ha. Could not stop laughing or whatever. Hey, we had topics this time.
Yeah.
If you guys really do have a year in wrap up next week, my question is, what form of media, books, TV, film, music, games, et cetera, had the biggest impact on you this year, and what was it?
I think my answer was, I'm going to stick with The Walking Dead Telltale Game.
Okay.
Because I never care, like I said, I never care for, you know, like another, especially, you know, kid character. So Walking Dead, Clementine, Lee, the way that chemistry was
with the two, that came out last year, CJ.
What is last year? What, 2013, right?
Yeah. No, well, this question pertains to 2013, but Walking Dead did come out in 2012, so.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could talk about season 2, episode 1, if you wanted to. I mean,
no.
That settles that.
All right, well then, mine would be movies. I think 12 Years a Slave hit me pretty. I don't know that one. That movie just, like Martin said too. Whatever. After the movie was over, I just sat there just staring at the screen like, damn. The hype around this movie was actually right around it. I was like, wow, that doesn't really happen too much in cinema these days where movies get amped up to 100 degrees, like, oh, it's going to be the best thing ever, whatever, and shit, and then you see, like, this movie wasn't shit, whatever. And then 12 Years a Slave not only lived up to the hype, but goddamn, that just hit me emotionally, too.
Yeah, for me, I got to go with games. Yeah. The writing especially, specifically pertaining to The Last of Us and Bioshock Infinite. It was probably better than most of what I've seen cinematically this year, as far as movies go. So, I gotta go with games.
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto 5 spoke to me, too.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. You just left your window open in Compton.
You know we got bars on these windows, so I'm safe.
You think you are?
Yeah, exactly. I think I am. All you gotta do is take a knife and just shake that motherfucker open. Oh shit, why did I say that on air? Anyway, next comment comes from Andrew. He says, I hear a lot of people saying how terrible 2013 has been, and to name a few tragedies, yes, that bad podcast canceling, Lena leaving, thus almost making the Phenomenal quit, and the tragedy of a spill in the loading bar. But do you guys think 2014 will pick up to be nothing but amazing?
I sure hope so.
Oh, it definitely will.
I don't think 2013 personally was that bad. I mean, the stuff that was bad that happened picked up in a better way, as if you will. Like, we just got done telling Martin or whatever, even though Spill canceled, what they're doing now is still pretty goddamn good. I mean.
Yeah, fuck 2013. I'm ready to move on.
Straight to the point.
Man, I was unemployed. I was homeless. I was everything. Yeah.
I just like dick.
In L.A., you could have been living in this.
I know, right? I had to, Cody. I had to do what I had to do.
Hey, Cody, you forgot to get a sucky dick to get on here.
I know. You know, you're getting your payment. You know, we got to send that bill pretty soon, Cody, so don't worry.
Well, don't worry, man. I will be sure to pay that on time. Cody, you got to suck some dick to be on the show now. Can I get dark on here?
You can rinse it out with battery acid. You know? Oh.
Ain't nothing like better to rinse up now than battery acid, Cody. Just think about that, all right?
So
and,
fresh.
And hey, movie spoilers. Even though it was looked like it was about to cancel, that was a podcast award finalist, right? Ain't nothing bad for me going on.
I give you kudos, man. You picked it up real quick, dude. You didn't fall and bitch and moan. Nah, you stuck to your fucking britches, man. You fucking went on, dude.
Thank you. I think the same could be said about the loading bar. I mean,
Yeah,
they picked that shit up in, what, 2 weeks?
That's what you got to do.
I remember I was talking about it. So, yeah, tragedies happen. They happen every year, but even CJ, you was unemployed, bro. You got a job now, right?
Right. Well, that's the thing about the darkness. You know, it may look really, the light may think it's taking over, but if you give it more light, you would get more darkness.
So I mean, things pick up. It all depends on the person and how they handle it, or whatever. And I think the Darkness Brothers, I think we handle it pretty goddamn well, if you ask me. I'm giving y'all guys some credit on this, okay? Back me up.
I agree with you. I mean, there's no point to wallow in right. What things could have been or would have had. The only thing you can do is to pick up and move forward.
Yeah, like Thomas Wayne said, that begins. Why do we fall?
God damn, that's a good quote.
No, no. I know, right? You should love that movie more, Cody.
Oh,
yo, why do you like Man of Steel more than that now, Cody? Come on now. You going
to the quote, you know what a wise man said, if you find kids in a bus drowning, should you save them? I don't know. It's okay.
I understand that they tried to do something. Man, did you see the look on his face though when he told him that? He's just like, well, shit, I don't know. What are you supposed to do?
The fucking camera was shaking during that scene too, dude. Why? Seriously? A fucking dialogue scene. The camera was shaking. Anyway, moving on.
If they do keep the same cameraman for the sequel or whatever and shit, I'm just curious to see what it would look like with all the rest of the superheroes in there. Like, they would have to slow that camera down for Batman and shit.
I would hope so.
I would hope so, too, but we'll talk about that later. Nick, he says, haven't seen 12 Years a Slave, but why do you guys, mainly Martin and P1, since they've seen it, think it is on number one on tons of people's best of list? I think I just recently said that. Well, because... I guess because it lived up to the hype, man. The expectations on it was, like, high as hell. Even me, before I even saw it, I was just like, yeah, we'll see about that fucking movie. I'm pretty sure it's got some fucking Django shit going on in there or whatever. And when I saw it, I was just like, my God, this is... And like I said, it touched me emotionally and... I don't want to say personal because I wasn't involved in none of that shit, but as far as, like, I guess for black people or whatever, it touched personal or whatever and shit, and I thought that... It was a lot more inspirational than the fucking Butler was. I can tell you that right now. I think you guys saw it in the trailer where he was talking about, like, I will not fall, I will strive and be better than this or whatever and stuff like that. That mm-hmm. scene right there alone was, I was like, that shit inspired the hell out of me. I was like, yeah, damn right. I won't fall to this shit. I'm gonna get better. And I was like, who am I talking to? Last question I got here is from Cynthia. She says, P1, Cody, and Martin, what was your thoughts when CJ brought his mom on to teach you about God? because you guys were quiet as hell, LOL.
Shit, I can tell you my thought. I'm about to fucking shut down my iPad, throw it out the window, run.
I was, you know what, I ain't gonna lie, I was about to hang up and text Cody and Martin and be like, what the hell is this nigga doing?
Hey, now I did try to take the mic from him, hitting the y'all, like, oh, no, don't do that.
Martin's son, because we were scared. That's why. Because we were scared. It was funny. I think Martin summed it up perfectly, though, by just saying, he was just like, he's like, yeah, Twelve is a Slave, yeah, let me tell you why it's a good movie. Now, God, now, another. That was classically scary. Damn, why did I feel like that was my mom coming over? like she, that's how strong a black woman it is, or whatever. They your mom, they'll scare the fuck out of you no matter what they talk about. Yeah, well, that's all the questions I had here, guys, whatever, so that I can read off at least, whatever, because we got to start getting out of here, man. We've been here almost 2 hours now, so.
We have. So thank you, people. Listen again. We'll probably have this second parter. So, all right, there we go.
Later. Mm-hmm. Darkness special, if you will, or whatever, you know.
Question special.
Yeah, exactly, whatever. So, thank you, people. I'm the Phenomenal One. My man Cody here, and we got CJ here. So catch us later for another Darkness.
Come with me when the darkness comes.